So today our text is from Romans 8, 35 to 39. Our theme today is inseparable love. We will see 3 points. First, hard questions. Second, absolute arguments. And third, undoubtable conclusion. So Romans 8 is a very deep and rich chapter. When chapter 5 and 6, Paul talks about the justification. In chapter 7, he's talking about sanctification, the reality of believers. And now in chapter 8, Paul talks about the ideal life of the believers, the assurance of salvation, which can be found in Jesus Christ. So in the latter part of the chapter, Paul uses several rhetorical questions to challenge and strengthen their confidence in Christ. He asks, who can be against us if God is for us? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who is he who condemns? Paul uses this question to highlight that as child of God, no one can against you, no one can charge you, and no one can condemn you because you were justified and clothed by Christ's righteousness. Now, when we see our text today, it comes to the climax of this question. It's our first point. Now Paul challenged them in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The question is very simple, but profound, isn't it? Who shall separate you from the love of Christ, dear believers? We should notice here that Paul did not ask them, who shall separate our love to Christ? It is Christ's love toward us. Beloved, as human beings, you will find many times your love is always changing. You love some people before, after some misunderstanding, your love disappeared or decreased. It even happens in the family when husband and wives, you may find sometimes your love to each other will decrease when you have arguments. Dear children, you may find sometimes you do not like the toys you liked before. Believers, you will find your love to God is always changing. When you have a good relationship with Him, you feel you love God so much. You want to read the Bible more and pray more because you enjoy the moment you have communion with Him. However, when you're sinning against Him, you will find God is so distant. You want run away from Him. You want hide. You want to hide from Him. Why? Why our love is always changing? Because as the descendant of Adam, we are changing because we are sinner. We have sinful nature. We will always change our love according to the experience we have, the environment, our emotions. However, God changes not. In Numbers 23, verse 19, the Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? That's the reason why Paul did not ask, what shall separate our love to Christ? Because the answer would be very simple, that everything could change our love toward God. That's the reality. And Paul does not stop here. He further challenged those believers in the following sentence. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, shall those things can separate you from his love? One Puritan commentator says this, Paul begins with lesser and rises to the greater, placing them in order, not casually, but by choice. The term of tribulation refers to the afflictions in general. All sufferings in your life, all things that make you painful, make you hurtful, make you anxious, are tribulations in your life. Tribulations are everywhere. Distress refers to those troubles, difficulties, pressure, and critical situations. They're coming into your life unexpectedly, and you want to escape from them because you do not know what to do. In your daily life, you will face many things that are beyond your expectation. And you will have many troubles at school, with your classmate, or at workplace, with your co-workers, at home, with family. Distress is everywhere. Persecution is affliction for the profession of the gospel. In many countries in this world, such as North Korea, such as China, the government persecuted Christians, destroyed the church, put Christians in the prison, and in some countries, they even have the risk of death. And even in the United States, the persecutions are rising up. Persecutions are everywhere. Famine referred to those who lack necessity of life. Maybe we cannot imagine this here, but there's many people in some other countries. They do not have enough food to eat. They may just eat one piece of bread for the whole day. Nakedness is more severe than famine, that they're indigent and poor. They cannot have enough money to buy their clothing. And they do not know if they can survive for tomorrow. Peril is extreme dangers. As Christians, you were put under this evil world. Satan always wants to get you and put you in danger. It is what Paul experienced in his ministry. Let's hear what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. In journals, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. The last one, which is sword, referred to violence carried to the utmost extremity, persecution to death. in church history, we see many martyrs were persecuted to death for their faith. And it is also common for today. Many Christians, they knew in the beginning when they professed their faith, they would have faced the death, the risk of death. Dear friends, maybe these things happened to you before, or you are facing these things, afflictions, tribulations. You may ask in your heart, does Jesus Christ still love me? Am I separated from his love? If he loves me, where is it? I cannot see it. I cannot find it. Where is Jesus Christ? And do you sometimes, maybe not that explicit, you may complain, why does this happen to me? Why does this happen to me? In all these sufferings, tribulations, you feel that you are separated from his love. So Paul's hard questions today comes to you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? So Paul gives his argument in verse 36 and 37. It's our second point, absolute argument. First, he quotes Psalm 44, 32. For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Paul wants to prove that all these sufferings are not the mark of separation from Christ's love. On the contrary, it is a mark of his people because the world hates his people and the world wants to against Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself says that you shall have tribulations in this world. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians that you are appointed to all these afflictions. Peter says in 1 Peter 5, 9, that you should know that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Do not think you are the only one that suffers. All true believers would have sufferings and afflictions in this world because your Lord Jesus Christ also suffered in the world. Beloved, is that comforting you? Because you are not separated from his love, but you are conforming to his suffering. Second, as Paul continued to speak in verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. What a beautiful and amazing truth. You are conqueror through Jesus Christ, dear Christians. Yes, you will have sufferings and afflictions in this world, but you could be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. You already conquer the world through him. The only reason you can conquer is because he loves you. Not he loves you, But he already loved you. Why? You were a sinner. Dear child of God, he loved you before you were born. He loved you when you sinned against him. And he is now still loving you. And he will love you in the future. He will love you with everlasting love. Because he changes not. In Hebrews 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He loved you. He's now loving you. And he will love you till the end. You will conquer the world eventually. But it does not mean that your afflictions will be gone. No. But it means that sin can no longer dominate you. You are the children of God, not the slaves of the world. His love, beyond all afflictions, secures and guarantees your eternal salvation. You are conquerors. However, Paul encouraged here that you are not only conquerors, but you are more than conquerors. What does that mean? More than conquerors. Dear friends, most of the time when trouble comes, the immediate reaction, you want to resolve it as soon as possible. Right? The only goal is to swipe those difficulties away. Often a victory is a loss. In most victories, the sound of triumphant is mingled with the sobbing of the widow, and often. Many times, when two countries battle together, the victory country, they will lose a lot of soldiers. Often, the victory is a loss. So what does Paul mean here? More than conqueror. Paul speaks here to all believers that they're not losing, but they're gaining. They're not only conquerors, but gainers. Beloved, you are gainers from all these afflictions. As Paul says in verse 28 of the same chapter, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. All things work for good. All things, including all those tribulations, distress, persecutions, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword. All things. Charles Hodge comments here. These afflictions are not only deprived of all power to do us harm, they minister to our good. They swell the glory of our victory. What a beautiful statement. And now I will list four benefits to see how do we gain from these afflictions. First, it makes us be closer to Christ. Dear friends, all this suffering cannot separate us from his love. On the contrary, it draws us near to him, because you know that you cannot rely on anything other. You cannot depend on yourself. You cannot depend on others. Only in Him. Only trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. You find that you have nothing to do under those critical situations, but only pray to Him. Pray to God through Jesus Christ. Because He is your only helper. He is your only refuge and hope. During the afflictions, you can cry out with Job, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you." Second, it teaches you more about sin and reminds you that you are just strangers in this world. The afflictions in this world can be caused by your sin, or can be caused by other sins, or sometimes just by the sins in this world, because this world are polluted by sin. However, no matter what causes it, it shows us the sinfulness, the wickedness of the sin, isn't it? You will hate sin more and more. Afflictions will make you not love this world. You will see this world would finally pass away, but to seek His everlasting kingdom and righteousness. As a result, you will have hope in the future because you do not belong to this world. Your citizenship is in heaven. And you can cry out with Paul, "For I reckon that suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Third, you can bear the fruits of righteousness after suffering. You gain the fruits. What an invaluable moment that you can gain the fruit of the Holy Spirit from the afflictions. It is very common for God to use afflictions to refine His people, to shape His people, to grow His people, to mature His people. You can learn His word more and more through afflictions, through sufferings. Our Lord Jesus Christ learned obedience by the things He suffered. It's from Hebrews 5:8. After afflictions, you will bear the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And may all of you can speak with the psalmist, "It is good. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. I may learn your statutes." And fourth, you can comfort others who are also in the sufferings. Most commonly, those who have suffered a lot, they know more how to comfort the people who are in suffering. They have more a tender heart because they taste the bitterness of the afflictions and the sweetness of the presence of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, it states, "Who comforts us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." how beautiful it is that you can comfort the brothers and sisters in the Lord. And however, you must know that you can comfort them not because of your work, not because of your power, not because of your ability, but only by Him, by the work of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. You can comfort them because Christ's work on them. And you should lead them to see Jesus Christ. Not see you, but see Him. Who is the one who was in all points tempted like as we are and can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities? Therefore, dear friends, even though there are so many afflictions around you and make you feel weak, doubt, grieved, and confused, you should know by faith that afflictions are appointed to you, but you are more than conquerors. You are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who loved you, loves you, and love you till the end. You do not lose. You do not lose. But you are a gainer. After Paul addresses his argument for the hard question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, in the last two verses of this chapter, he makes an undoubtable conclusion. This is our third point. What he says: for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of Christ and the love of God are one. God loves believers through Jesus Christ. God the Father loves Son and also loves those who are in Him. Only in Jesus Christ you can have communion with God. In short, nothing can separate us from the love of God, and nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Who shall? Who shall? Nothing. Nothing. The member cannot be cut off from the body. The branch cannot be torn from the vine. Dear beloved in Jesus Christ, do not doubt about this. It's not my word. It's the word of our God, who never changes, and whose word never change and pass away. He says that He will never leave you nor forsake you. He says He will confirm you to the end and save you to the end. He says that Jesus Christ has loved His own which are in the world. He will love them to the end. He will love you to the end. This is the promise of God. Death cannot separate. It accelerates your sanctification so that you can come to glorification. Everything in this life, such as afflictions and difficulties, cannot separate you, because our Lord has overcome the world. Angels, principalities, and powers cannot separate you, because the resurrected Christ is far above all these things, and they were created by him and for him. Things present and to come cannot separate you. They are yours, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, that all things are yours, and you are in Christ, and Christ is God's. Height and depth, which means things in heaven and in hell, as well as all other creatures, cannot separate you from Christ's love. They're all under his feet, and they're all used by God to serve him and to his people for their good. Dear believers, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, but everything serves you for your good by God's providential grace, which is in Jesus Christ. There is one thing that is interesting to notice here. In the beginning of verse 38, Paul says he is persuaded. In Greek, it could also be translated into that Paul is certain, is assured, is trusted confidently. And it is also a passive word to show Paul does not persuade, assure by himself. He cannot do it. But it is the assurance of faith which is granted by Christ alone, which is rooted in his word. By faith, Paul knows that nothing can separate him from the love of Christ. By faith, he has learned to be content under any circumstances because he can do all things through Christ who strengthened him, because he is more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved him. However, if any of you sitting here do not know him, do not have a personal relationship with him, you are separated. You are separated from his love. Not only the separation, but you are living under God's wrath. You are still living in sins, and your sins are not forgiven. Maybe your life is good. Your family is good. Your work is good. But you are not a gainer. You are losing. You are walking toward the way to the eternal death. There is no love there. No compassion there, but only weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. Those who are in Christ, who believe in him personally, you are loved by Christ, and his blood covered all your sin. And you will be viewed righteousness because of his righteousness. You will be exalted to the new heaven and new earth. However, if you are not in Christ, you are separated from him, and you will be cast into the eternal hell. Today, the gospel is preaching to you. Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. There's no other name under the heaven given among men by which we must be saved, only Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, repent. Repent and have faith in Him. Do you really want to perish? Do you really want to perish? Come to Him. Only in Him you can taste the sweetness of the presence of Jesus Christ. Only in Him you can have the true happiness. Only in Him, and He will give you the eternal life, and He will love you with everlasting love. 200 years ago, one hymn writer wrote a very beautiful hymn after his four daughters died in a shipwreck. Only his wife was saved. Under such tragic suffering, he wrote these words: though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul, and has it is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well, beloved, because of your identity, because you are child of God. You are secure in Jesus Christ. It is well because you are saved by His shedding blood. It is well because you are more than conquerors through Him. It is well because nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your everlasting love for your child who are in you. Lord, please help each of us when everyone faced the troubles, sufferings, pain, we can by faith have the joy in you because we know the truth by faith that nothing can separate us from your love. And also we pray for those who do not know you. Please illuminate them to see your beauty, to see your glory, to see your mercy, and to see your love. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.